always been cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. Text line time permitting, we'll try to get them in, 251-343-0106. Joining us now on the line, he represents Lawrence County in the Alabama legislature. Always glad to get him on, but State Representative Ernie Yarbrough is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing fantastic. It's getting time towards fall, which is my favorite time of the year. About 10 more degrees and a little bit more color on the trees, and it'll be just perfect.
Well, we could knock a few degrees off the temperature, and doing football on Saturday afternoons becomes a lot easier. So we're getting close. We'll be there before we know it, I guess.
That's right. I mean, it can't get here soon enough for me, that's for sure.
Hey, a few things here. First up, your resolution honoring Charlie Kirk. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, nobody needs the story of what happened. And, you know, Charlie Kirk has been such a phenomenal just example and model, not only of conservative conviction and eloquence, but really how he blended his faith and the issues that our country faces. Is so, he had such a unique gift. And so, you know, I think that he really was a much needed rebuke to the secularism and unbelief of our time that somehow tries to say, well, you know, your faith is in church or at your home, but you can't bring your faith and your religious worldview into the public square. Well, the fact of the matter is that, you know, we as human beings made in the image of God, you know, mind, body, soul, spirit, heart, all those things. Well, we don't act in the public square. We don't act in the realm of education. We don't act in the realm of race relations. We don't act in the realm of morality, ethics, and truth in the public square, divorced, set apart, or separate from who we are as individuals, right? It's what our Lord told us, right? He is faithful in little, faithful in much. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Charlie was a much-needed voice to our country to say, hey, you know what? These issues that we're facing that are like the point of controversy, these issues that are the point where there's tremendous either good or harm being done, let's actually review that in the context of eternal truth and bring eternal truth to bear on the situations at hand. He had such a remarkable, effective way of doing that. He was just tremendously gifted. And, you know, it's funny to me how that the left in this whole discussion will say, you know, oh, Charlie was a racist, or Charlie didn't believe in the civil rights movement, or what. And they inevitably, they will take a clip, cut it up, chop it up, move it around. But when you watch the whole thing, he just beautifully expressed truth that was good for everybody. And so I just felt like because of, obviously, I mean, his story from nothing and going to campuses, sleeping on couches, you know, to building this. Yeah, this empire for truth that was capturing the hearts and minds of our young people for good was just one of the most incredible stories of the last 50 years, honestly. And I felt like that, you know, there was things being done at the congressional level, and that we as Alabamians, Alabama's, you know, we are a conservative faith-based state. And so if there's anybody that ought to pass a resolution to honor him, it should be the Alabama legislature. And if you read the resolution that I had drafted, it's not a controversial, as it were, so much as he was a man of faith. He loved his family. He loved his children. And he moved from his faith in God and what he knew was right from there to engage in the public sphere based on his convictions and values, morals, and beliefs. And of course, you know, I think that we need much more of that. And, you know, it was amazing that, you know, this man was killed not for, you know, burning down cities or rioting. He was killed simply because he was speaking and young people were listening. And so to me, he's a hero. He's a martyr because he brought his faith into the public square and applied it with tremendous power. And people could see that, you know, what we've been doing is this whole secularistic, humanistic, atheistic, evolution-based thinking is not working. It's destroying our young people. And God used him in a mighty way. And to me, you know, I don't really care about celebrating the Beyoncés of the world and the rappers of the world and the people whose personal and private lives are morally debauched and broken, who are craving and desperate to have influence and to have a relevant voice. Why not celebrate a man whose private life and public life was exemplary? And so I felt like it was very appropriate.
Yeah, and so you'll get a crack at it, I guess, in January when the legislature's in session.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and get this filed, the HIR, which is like a House resolution when we're not in session, kind of like, hey, it's there, and then when we get into session, we will formally move forward with it and formally recognize him. You know, I just think that, you know, I mean, if you go back and you watch his videos where he's reaching young people and he's speaking on the controversial topics of DEI or racism or, you know, truth and right and wrong and abortion. Like if you just watch him and listen to him and how he engages with, how he talks to people, say, you know what? Tell me what you think, right? Here's a question. Answer this question, right? And back and forth it goes. We need much more of that in our country. And I think if we can recover more of that civil dialogue, you know, you can agree to disagree, but I think that on a level playing field where you can have conversations, disagree or agree over time, I think that truth will win today, because I think on a level playing field where honest conversation is had amongst those who truly desire the best for themselves and their neighbors, truth is going to win.
Representative, I don't know how much you keep it up with it. Now, you were early in your tenure as a lawmaker. You were a sponsor of a school choice bill. I assume you're an advocate of the current regime we have in place with the Choose Act. What do you make of this dust up between Speaker Ledbetter and the governor with the Alabama High School Athletic Association?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, yes, my first session of my first 4-year term, which I'm about to have to run for re-election, Lord willing. So yeah, I carried the school choice bill. It was the Price Act, which, you know, in its evolution became the following year, the school choice act that we currently have in place and the Choose Act. And the obvious intent and the literal wording of the bill was, hey, we're going to let Alabamians use their money. The whole concept here is really simple, okay? It's applying the free market to education. And I would argue that every time you see people who raise their hackles, as it were, they get all angry about it, it's because they're more concerned about money than they are the benefit of the child. Whether it's, hey, I want more money for sports, or I want more money for securing this or that. Never mind a free market situation where what is really driving all of the educational decisions that we make is what is good for the child mentally, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, right? And intellectually. And so I think this whole dust up between the high school athletic association and Speaker Ledbetter and the governor and others in the legislature is simply modeling the fact that that's just one example of an entity that doesn't want the free market applied to education. We were very plain and very explicit in the bill. And the truth is that what needs to drive choices, I mean, the fact that I actually have to even say this kind of makes me laugh, but what should drive the educational choices of our children and families, wait for it, it's not football, it's not basketball, it's not baseball. It's actually the academics teaching the child the passing down of our way of life. Right? And the fact that these other things that make money become the driving factor of cutting off or, you know, kicking up dust on the school choice bill or whatever, it's just, to me, it's just illustrative of the problems of the system and why people are moving in this direction to begin with. Because I think, by and large, people are sick and tired, growingly so, of our education system prioritizing woke ideologies, perverse books, common core, things that don't work, or even things that in and of themselves are not necessarily bad, like sports. I played sports. Sports in its place is great. But prioritizing those things over the parents' rights to move their children where they need to be for the educational equipping of that child to succeed in life. I am proud of our leadership for saying, you know what? No, you're not going to violate the law that we passed in spirit and in the letter of the law. You're going to honor what needs to be done.
Well, you know, in your district, when I was growing up, Representative Cortland Town Creek, I mean, they were dominant forces in high school football in the state. And, you know, those are places where I assume it's still a big, big part of the culture there, you know, and you wonder, and the education component is very important, but that high school athletic aspect of this that we talk about, and what do you hear from people in your area? Because there does seem to be in your district, there does seem to be a for whatever reason, a lot of people who want to defer to the AHSAA on this. In my view, maybe they're acting out of the interest of high school athletics, but I think there is a prevailing notion that they're just anti-school choice, and this is why they are acting in the manner that they are.
No, I think you're exactly correct. I think that they are anti-school choice. The Alabama High School Athletic Association is, I believe you're dead on. They're anti-school choice, and this is just one of the ways that it's manifested, right? There's more of a concern to hold on to the, you know, what you feel like maybe is cornering your market of football or sports or whatever, than the free flow of people, ideas, information, and education for the benefit of the child, right? And this is why you continue to see alternative forms of education, people going to those in growing numbers, because they, you know, they're sick and tired of being dictated to what they can or can't do, what choices they can or can't make for the good of their children. And in my district, you know, when I go and speak to the classrooms, we have a lot of tremendous teachers, coaches, principals, superintendents, you know, and by and large, they want faith in the Lord and character and discipline in the schools, right? And so, you know, I think that for too long, the anti-school choice has been in the context of we want control, we want money, but that's also led to us saying, you know what, we want money from the federal government. Doesn't matter if we have to let our kids have trashy books. Doesn't matter if we have to let our kids be taught that they can be a furry or our boys can be girls or vice versa, right? And so what we have to make sure that we are not doing is giving into a subtle form of human trafficking where we are trading the hearts, souls, and minds of our children for money, for power, or for control. And so, you know, where there is kickback against school choice, you know, as manifested in sports, my response to them would be, you don't have the right power or authority to get in the way of Alabama's parents who have the God-given responsibility and authority above all to ensure the education of the hearts, souls, and minds of their children. So, you know, I just think it's really important that we stand our ground. And I'm not surprised that there's a kickback, because obviously there's, you know, that was a controversial bill, and, you know, the educational power brokers, as it were, be it the institution or the AHSAA or the parents of Alabama, are in this, you know, tug of war, push pull, which is why the bill was controversial or was kind of heated or whatever. But at the end of the day, the parents of Alabama are the ones who are going to come out victorious on this, because it's their money, it's their children, and it's their responsibility.
What do you think happens this session? Because and I talked to the speaker, he seems to, you know, they're going to try to do something, but it sounds to me like, you know, the days are numbered, whatever happens, of the status quo.
So, you mean in terms of this next session, in terms of
any kind of association? Yeah, any kind of corrective action. And maybe it's not just the AHSAA. Maybe there needs to be, like, more definitive language regarding, you know, what goes on here by the legislature.
Yeah, so I think from what I understand, there are a couple of things on the table. One is there's conversations about stripping the AHSAA of their power and or going in and adding strengthened language to the bill to strengthen the rights of Alabama's parents to make decisions and make it exceedingly clear. Because yeah, as you know, yeah, they were trying to say that, you know, the AHSAA was trying to, you know, play fast and loose with words. Well, it didn't say, it didn't use this word, it used that word or whatever in the bill. When it was, you know, it was plain and obvious. And of course, often with the LSA, you know, gave a memorandum saying, hey, there's no question about the purpose, words, or intent of the legislation. So I think that both the any power that the High School Athletic Association has and the school choice bill itself, you know, removing their power and or strengthening the bill, all of that is on the table. Because, you know, we as a legislative body have to respond to this, because we are entrusted with the people to do the people's business under God. And when an agency, understandably, because they've been used to having their way apparently for forever, when an agency acts this way, it is incumbent upon those in whom the power of the people under God is entrusted to set things in order and to remind those entities that are creatures of the legislative body who they work for. So whether it is stripping them of their power, which is part of the discussion, and or as well editing the bill to strengthen the language, I think both those options are on the table, and I look forward to handling this issue. So we send the message loud and clear to Alabama parents that they are in the driver's seat for their children.
Representative, you're always very kind to make time for this program. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Sounds good, brother. Call me anytime.
All right. State Representative Ernie Yarborough there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You know it ain't so hard to say. Would you please just go away? Yeah. I've thrown away the blues.